Morning. Good to see everyone out. I'd like to welcome our visitors, New Harmony Baptist Church. Just make yourself at home and excited about today. We had a good time yesterday. I want to appreciate those who came out to my, I had my own birthday party, Stephanie says, so I do that. But appreciate those that come. I know there's a lot had, we still have a lot vacationing, those going on vacation. And I told somebody yesterday, I'm ready for everybody to get back. And you're missed when you're not here. So looking forward to that. I know summer's a busy time. Then when we get done with summer's time for school to start back, then it's Christmas time. Man, it just comes so fast. But good to have you here this morning. Do we have any prayer requests before we get in, go into our service? Any others? I mentioned we have some traveling. Remember those that's traveling. Remember a lot working today and different things. So pray the Lord's safety upon them. And I want you to pray for our service this morning. The Lord's given me a message that's a tough one. It's one I've struggled with this week and tried to learn more and more about. And don't feel qualified to preach the one he's laid on my heart this morning. So I need your prayers and understanding and to see where he can go with it. So this morning you have I say a lot of times as he lays messages on my heart that they're for me. This one here is one that's so needed in today's time. You don't hear preached a lot. So excited about it. A little nervous for like first time I preached, but I've studied and I know that God's going to bless it. So I'm excited about that to come. So pray for me as we go into our message this morning. Pray for our singers. They'll be coming in a few minutes to sing for us. And let's just forget all about everything we have going on tomorrow. You can't change that today. Forget everything that's went on last week. You can't change that. You can't do anything about it. And let's just take this time to worship him in spirit and truth. We get caught up sometimes about who's here, who's not here. The ones that's here this morning, the Lord wanted here. That's the bottom line of it. So let's just focus on him. Forget about everything else. Any other prayer requests? Not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for each person who come out to your house this morning to hear more about you, to learn more about you. Father, I thank you for the Sunday school that we had. I thank you for, Lord, the one who taught it, Father. I thank you for the message that you the message that you put in that book for us, Father, as we begin studying and what it means for each one of us to participate in building our church. And God, I pray for more devotion from each one of us, starting with me, Father, towards your work. And God, I ask that you help each one of us see that our participation is important. And Father, this morning as we come into our worship service, I pray that, number one, your spirit is in our midst. I pray you're here with us. God, we can do nothing without you. Lord, I pray that you fill our singers with your spirit as they sing. God, I pray that every soul in here is here for one reason. That's to honor and glorify the name of Jesus. God, I ask you to be with these prayer requests we heard as Pam is going back to the hospital. Father, we pray that you intervene in that situation, that, Lord, you heal her body back to her much-wanted health. And, Father, if it not be your will, that you comfort those family members, they help take care of her in whatever situation is. And, God, we ask you to just be real near and dear to them. Father, as those we've got traveling this morning on vacations or other things or working, God, we pray your safety upon them. Put a hedge of protection about them as they travel and as they work. God, we ask you just to bless us this morning for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Let's stand and join us in our call to worship.
Chains of the past are broken. So undeniable. hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into the love of your good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are.
To bring my birthday gift that Miss Pat got me this morning so we could start advertising for our Bible school next year. Our Bible school theme is going to be Giddy Up. That'll be June of next year, and Pat's ready already. She bought me a stick horse for my birthday, and I was going to ride it up here this morning, but I didn't get up in time. But I appreciate that gift she got me, and I don't know why Miss Pat hadn't learned that I get the last say. And I get up here last, but no, we have a lot of fun. I do appreciate her being able to put up my fun. But this message this morning, I told you, has been tough for me to because of some things I've had to do a lot of studying about and trying to understand and looking. And it's one of those messages where you go to commentaries and they only take you so far, and the things that you don't understand, well, they must not understand because they leave it out. I've told y'all jokingly before, I think I could write a commentary sometimes because I get to the things I need help with, and it seems like they don't know much about it either. But I began studying many places, and the message this morning is it's up to you. It's up to you. But the thing I was began preparing for this week, and I had a thought on my mind of every knee was going to bow, every tongue was going to confess Jesus Christ, and that's going to happen. But as I began preparing for that message, I began seeing other things and realizing about this judgment that is to come. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, I want to read to you one verse, and then we'll begin preaching this morning, but I want to read to you one verse, and I want you to understand something. As Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7, I said 27, this verse 7, but I want you to understand something this morning, that we all have an appointment we're going to keep. We all have an appointment that you're not going to get out of. They've done studies, and 10 out of 10 people are going to die. It's going to happen. You're not getting out of this thing alive. Unless the rapture takes place, you're going to die. It's not fun to think about. It's not fun to consider, but the facts of it is it's going to happen. It don't matter what your age is right now. At some point, you're going to leave this walks of life. Unless the Lord comes back, you're going to go this way. So it's important that we know what's coming on the other side. It's important that we understand that we just don't live this life and then it's over, such as a tree falling or different things like that. There's going to be judgments to come after this life is done. And it's not fun to think about the disciplines and all that stuff. We love to think about a loving God, and we serve a loving God. We serve a God who loves us more than we can ever imagine. But I want you to understand this morning, we serve a just God. We serve a God that's just, and because he's just, there's some things that must take place. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7 tells us this simple truth. Simple truth, it says, let me find it right here, I lost my spot. It says, it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this is the judgment. I've got something all mixed up there, don't I? I was in a hurry this morning when I wrote this down. But it's Hebrew, I think it's going to be 9:27. So I don't want to steer you wrong on this. Yes, it's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. It's going to come. Yeah, I began thinking about appointments today. We make appointments and some of them get canceled and things happen and we can't make it. They're just some things that falls through, but this one is going to happen. And it tells us something, and not only is it appointed to man once to die, but after this, something else is coming. It's a judgment coming, and it's something that we're not going to get out of. Now, as we begin studying this week and begin trying to understand all of this, you will find that for the believers, there's going to be something that's called the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, if you begin studying much about that, you begin finding out some things about it. And in the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to find more about it in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 10. Let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest unto your consciences." And I began thinking about this thing at a judgment seat of Christ and about thinking about this, and I began studying, and I found out something that this judgment seat of Christ is, if you look at it in the original Greek and Hebrew, the name of this thing is called Bema. And when you study about it in Jerusalem, as they would have the Olympic Games, and if you've ever studied much about it, they had many games there, and as they would have races and different things, they would come before a judge who was the Bema judge. And as they would come before this judge, there was awarded awards for how they placed in the race. Whether they come in first, second, third, or last, or whatever the case may be, they was given awards for that. And I began thinking about us in our Christian life, about this thing, and about how much effort some of us put in. And we began thinking about, as if you ever run a race, and I have run a few road races, not marathons, but a few 5Ks and stuff, and do you know the people who always get the greatest awards are the ones who put in the greatest time? Or the one who put in the greatest work to gain something, to gain the strength, to gain the endurance to run the race, or whatever it must be. These are the ones who are standing on the podium at the end. Now begin thinking about our Christian lives, and according to this scripture, it says all of us that are saved are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of the things we've done, whether it be good or bad. The bottom line of this thing is, it's when you stand before him, you're going to give an account of what you've done in this life. And you say, "Well, preacher, it wasn't up to me to preach the gospel. It wasn't up to me to do this and that." Listen, if you're saved today and born again of God, you've got a responsibility to tell the gospel to a lost and dying world. You've got a responsibility to be proclaiming the word of Christ. You've got a responsibility to be telling lost people that there is a way out of this thing. You have that. And I can just imagine this day. I remember running a road race over in Bowden, and the guy who won this thing, he was a Marine. He run a 5K in 18 minutes. If you ever run anything, that's extremely fast. And I began thinking about, "Lord, why couldn't I do that?" And the common thing that comes to mind is you didn't put in the effort to do that. You didn't put in the effort that he has preparing for this thing, so he's going to get the greater reward. And I began thinking about this judgment seat and began looking at it and began thinking about it. Listen, this is not a place of condemnation. This judgment seat of Christ is not a place of condemnation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, it says, "Now there is no more condemnation to those who is in Christ Jesus." That's not a place of condemnation. It's not a place that you're going to be thrown out of. It's simply a place of awards. And it's a place that I tell you today that I want to stand, and I want to make certain that I have some awards at that place. I don't want to be standing there and not have anything. How do you think it would feel to be standing there and realize you have nothing to give back to the Lord when in Revelation, we're going to get there in a minute, tell us that we'll cast these awards at the feet of Jesus. But you stand, I want you to think about this. As you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, as you're standing there at this beam of judgment where the awards are given out, for the things you've done in this life, whether it be good or bad, what are you going to have there? What are you going to have? What's going to be there for you? You see, this day and time we live in, we're seeing falling away in all of our churches. I heard people just talking about it out there on the balcony in the foyer about how it seems that all churches, it seems, are down right now. It seems people have no desire to come. They have no desire to get busy in them. They have no desire to participate, as we studied about in our Sunday school lesson. What in the world condition are people going to be in when they stand before Jesus at this judgment seat of Christ? There are going to be some ashamed people, I tell you that. Now listen, I understand that we're all are going to fall short of that. I understand there's things that I do that I'm going to have to pay for. There's every message I preach, I believe I'm going to have to account for how I prepared for that thing and what I said and how I brought it forth to the people. And all these things, it says there will be an account taken. But I want you to think about this. As I begin studying this, many writers say that at this judgment seat of Christ, there'll be a going over of your life and the things you've done in it. And can you imagine? Now, we can see this in today's times. You can get together and you can put together a slideshow of someone's life. We see it done at the funeral homes. They put it from the time they was babies to the time they passed away. You'll see all these things, different areas of their life when they had children and all this. But as you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, your life is going to be played in front of you. It's going to be played in front of you, and can you imagine what's going to take place at that time? I don't know what it's going to feel like. I can't imagine. Now listen, I'm thankful that that's the place I'm going to be able to stand because I accepted Jesus as my Savior. There's nothing I've done to deserve that, but listen, as I accept Him, there's a time to get to work. There's a time to get busy for Him because there are awards coming. Now listen, this shouldn't be just be our only motive because we want to get all these great awards and all these things. That shouldn't be our only motive, but our motive should be what verse 11 says, that's knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now listen, church, if we could just get a little bit of glimpse of what it's going to be like for a lost man, I believe there'd be some persuading going on. If we just get a little bit of glimpse of what hell's going to be like, there would be some persuading going on in our families. There'd be some persuading going on in our workplaces, in our schools and everywhere about. There would be that. But you see, in the day and time we live, it's not popular anymore to preach about a place called hell. It's not popular to preach about a God of judgment. It's not popular to preach about what's going to happen if a man, woman, boy, or girl leaves this walks of life without Jesus Christ. It's not popular to preach that today. We all want to have our little ears tickled. We want to go out of here Sunday morning and feel like we're better about ourselves and go about our way. But nobody wants to hear today about what is to come. I want to tell you something. I want to know what's ahead. Now listen, we've got all these telephones and you can get all these things today if you're going to Birmingham, and you can look at the traffic so you know what lies ahead. You can get on there, and if you're going on vacation, you can actually pull up a picture of the place you're going to stay and see what it looks like. You can go on Google Maps, you can go to Street View, you can see what's outside that place. You can see everything about it. So why in the world does people not want to know what's going to happen after this life is over? I tell you why, because they don't want to take an account for it. That everything else is supposed to be other people's fault, and we don't want to take responsibility for nothing. But I want to tell you something. When you leave this walks of life, you will be responsible for what you did or what you didn't do. Boy, it's not fun to think about, is it? But listen to this judgment seat of Christ. And I begin thinking about it, of having to stand there. And if you had no awards, I begin thinking about the awards that will be given out. And I begin looking up some of these. And they say there's five crowns that will be given at that judgment seat of Christ. There's five crowns. And we're not going to go into all of them. I'm going to give you the scripture where you can go back home and look them up if you want to. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, says a crown of righteousness will be given. And then listen, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25 through 27, says a crown of victory will be given. And then there's a crown of life in James chapter number 1, verse number 12. And also it's mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. That's the crown of life. And the crown of glory, it tells about in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 2 through 4. Also tells about it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. And then chapter, and the fifth one is a crown of rejoicing. It tells about it in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. Of five crowns, they say, will be given out. The Bible teaches that. That five of these crowns will be given out. All these things will be given. Then you turn to Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Talks about these crowns being thrown at the feet of Jesus. It says the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. Now listen, do you want to be there at that day and not have anything to cast at the feet of Jesus? I don't want to be that. I want to have some crowns to throw there and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done, and thank you for all the blessings you gave me. And listen, I want to be able to do that. And why in the world does people not see the responsibility we have as Christian folks today? There is absolutely none. We don't think we have deserved nothing. We think, well, I just come in and out of church when I want to and just show up. I'm not missed at all. And it's not my job to do any of that stuff. It's a pastor's job. It's a deacon's job. It's all their job to do that. I have no responsibility. Listen, the one thing I want you to leave here this morning, if you were saved, is you have a responsibility to a lost and a dying world to persuade men to come to Jesus Christ. You have that responsibility. And listen, you're going to be rewarded for that responsibility. It shouldn't be your driving force again, but you've got the responsibility. You're going to be rewarded for it. And listen, church, it's time that we get busy and get serious about this thing. This Bible didn't need space taken up in it. That's not why the scripture was put here. The scripture was here to show you in 2018 that you are responsible for your actions. Boy, nobody wants to hear that today. We want somebody else to be responsible. I've been thinking about all these crowns and the judgment seat of Christ. And listen, again, it's not going to be a place of condemnation. It's not going to be a place. This is a place for the saved, folks. About, if you look up one verse from that, it says we. And the we is talking about there's a Christian people. Oh, but what's going to happen to those who don't know Christ? What's going to happen to those who leave this walks of life and they don't know Jesus? What's going to happen to them? Listen, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 20. I want you to turn over there if you got your Bibles. Revelation chapter number 20, verse 11. It's going to be on the screen too. But I want you to read it in black and white. I want you to understand something. This thing is very serious. Listen, I don't care how old you are or what it is. If you're here today and you've never called on Jesus Christ to save you, you need to do that thing today. You know why? Because you don't know the hour. You don't know the time when you're going to leave this walks of life. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know how much more time you got. And I beg you this morning, as I preach this to you out of Revelation, I want you to understand something, that this thing is serious. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from his face to heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know about you this morning, but that verse scared me to death when I began reading that. And began thinking about all those people that has heard me stand and preach, or all those that have come in contact with me throughout different walks of life. Have I told them about what's coming? Have I told them about what's headed for them on the other side? I've told some of y'all this story before, but I'll tell it again. My wife says I love to tell stories over and over. We was going to Savannah one time, and my wife's father lives about halfway between Macon and Savannah, and we stopped to eat supper with him down there in a little place called Dublin, Georgia. And as we stopped, we ate the Cracker Barrel, got back on the interstate, started heading to Savannah, and I looked over to my side, and there was a car going the wrong way on I-16. And my wife began calling 911, and she said, yes, ma'am, we have other people call and tell us about it, but we have nothing we can do. And this car was just going all the way down the wrong way. When people was blowing the horn, they was flashing the lights, and nothing happened. They just kept just heading straight down the wrong way. So I told Stephanie, I said, we're going to go on because I know what's about to happen. And we don't want to see it. Our children don't want to see it. So we're just going to go on. So we did. We mashed the gas on down. We went on. I looked back in the rearview mirror, and all I saw was tail lights. And my heart sank. I knew what had happened. I didn't know how bad it was. I didn't know anything about it. So we got to Savannah, turned on the news, and guess what? There was a woman that was in that van, they believe, was wanting to kill herself.
She was headed on I-16 the wrong direction. And she went head on into another family. It was a mother with two children. And two of them died in the crash. And I began thinking. I tried everything I could do to tell those people what was coming. I flashed my lights to the traffic coming on towards them and let them know there was trouble ahead. But again, thinking about it in a spiritual sense, how many people that I encounter do I tell them what's coming for them? How many people do I run into on a daily basis and I never care enough about them to tell them what's headed their way if they don't find Jesus? How many people have we told about him? Listen, church member, you may not be a preacher, but how many people have you ever told about Jesus? How many people have you ever told about what's coming in that great white throne judgment that they'll stand before if they know not Christ, what's coming to them? Listen to what he says. He said, I saw the dead, small and great. Hey, this means the rich, the poor, the black and the white, the tall, the skinny, the short, the fat, whatever size they was, it says they stood before God. He said, I saw him standing there, and the books were open. I began thinking about the books. I began studying this thing out, and the Bible plainly teaches that records are keeping. And I began thinking about it in today's time. You realize everything you've done is kept a record. It don't matter. You go and buy a car. You can go to Equifax or whatever that is, and you can look up, and there's a record about how you paid your payments. You go to the power company, there's a record about how you paid your bill. You go to the phone company, there's a record of what you've done. You go to the doctor, you got records. And my wife works in that field. If you want to get in trouble, you just mention something about somebody else's record. There's records kept about all of us, all these things. We're just burdened down with records. Did you realize that in Bible times in Rome, over there when people was crucified, that up above the cross where they was crucified, there was a record kept about what they had done. All the things they had done and why they was being crucified, there was a record kept of it. And it was serious to know that they was being paid for what they had done. They were being paid back. They were paying the penalty with their death is what it showed forth. So records are being kept. Listen, God is keeping records today. He knows everything, the loss. He knows what's happening. And they think they give a little bit of money and that reduces some of the sentence. Listen, charity is good and all that stuff, but nothing's going to save you from the wrath of God but the blood of Jesus Christ. There is absolutely nothing. But records was kept. And I begin thinking about this. Why in the world, the God that knows everything, why does he need to keep records? A God that he spoke and the earth came into existence. He spoke and everything just happened as he said it was to happen. He made everything in a perfect way. So why in the world does God need to keep records? Listen, honey, these records are not for him. These records are for you. So when you stand there that day and you haven't accepted his son as your savior, that you can say, look, I've done this and I've done that. And God's going to open that book. He said, yeah, you did. And he says, listen, it still don't measure up because you're not measuring up against a preacher. You're not measuring up against the deacons. You're being measured up against a holy God. You know what sin is? Sin's missing the mark. You look up in the Greek and Hebrew, the meaning of sin is it takes on the same meaning as an archer who is shooting towards a bullseye. If he hits anywhere but dead center, he has missed the mark. And listen, I want to tell you this morning, if you're a human being, and most of you are here, some of you don't look like it, but y'all are. Listen, if you're here this morning, I want to tell you, and I don't want to hurt your ego, I don't want to hurt your self-esteem, but you are a sinner. You are a sinner. If you haven't been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a sinner and your eternal destination will be hell. And listen, that's the bottom line of this thing. That's what's going to take place. So these records was kept, and it was kept there so you can look, and he'll be able to show them to you. And said, you did this thing, and you did that thing. And boy, you tried to work. You gave some money. You even come up to the church house. You may have even joined a such and such church and such and such day. But what the bad thing is he got another book there, which is called the Book of Life. And bless God, when that thing is opened, he says, hey, your name's not in here. Your name's not in here. Boy, at that point, there's trouble. There's trouble. All the books was kept. Just the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I began thinking about this. There's people go through all this life. They hear message after message. Listen, I know what the scripture says. that man cannot be saved unless he's drawn of God. But I believe with all my heart that God draws and is still drawing lost sinners. I believe at some point of your life, I believe God is obligated to offer you one opportunity to come to know him. And at that point, you get a choice to say yes or no. I believe that. And I believe most of us are given many opportunities to come to do that. And listen, I understand that a man must be drawn. A man must be realized that he's a sinner before he can be saved. But listen, you think today we're seeing less and less people saved. Is God slacking what he said he would do? No, he's not. He's still calling lost sinners. He's still calling the lost to him. He's still doing it. So what in the world has happened? I tell you what has happened is people is no longer standing and telling folks what's going to happen if they leave this walks of life without Jesus Christ. People are so worried about the crowds being filled up. We're so worried about people being in our churches. We're so worried about people being harmed by hearing bad things and all this. Listen, I don't want to scare your children. I don't want to scare you. But I love you too much not to tell you the truth this morning. If you leave without Jesus Christ, your eternal destination will be that lake of fire. And boy, it's as plain as I know to put it. The records are being kept. It's being written down. Been written down. How many of y'all ever, I've never been in court, thank the Lord. And I don't want to know y'all if y'all have been. Pat, I'm sure Pat's been there a few times. Listen, as I see on TV when people's in court, they got somebody over there keeping records. Keeping the records of everything. And everything is kept up with. So when the judge has to do his sentencing, he can go back and look at all those things and seeing what that person really deserves. See what they really deserve. Now what, listen, we serve a God who is so holy. He says that hate is murder. We serve a God that's so holy. He says to look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery. He tells us we shall not covet. He tells us we shall not steal and all these other things. He tells all these commandments we shouldn't do. And listen, that's completely what you're measured up against. So how in the world can those works that you do that's being kept up within that book, how will they ever be enough to get you away from God's judgment? They won't. They won't. You see, all the way back in the garden, and I preach this all the time, Adam and Eve sinned. They sinned. They simply disobeyed God, which is sin. They disobeyed God, and at this point, a sin entered into the world. And immediately, an animal had to be killed to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. At this point, a blood sacrifice came into being. And listen, from that point on, they had to be a sacrifice for sin. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So at that point, when death entered in, there was a penalty associated with that. And that penalty was death. That's the only thing that could pay for sin was death. That's how God set it up. So listen, and not a work out there can pay for that. There's only one payment and it's death. So listen, this payment has got to be made. This payment is going to be made. And you can look at it as good news or bad news, however you want to look at it. But the bottom line of it is there's two choices. You can pay the payment, which is death, which is eternal separation from God, which is eternal separation in a lake of fire, or you can call upon the one who's already paid the debt for you, which is Jesus Christ. It's up to you. It's up to you this morning. You ain't got to worry about me. You ain't got to worry about your neighbor sitting beside you. You ain't got to worry about your mother, your daddy, or your grandma, or your grandpa. They can't pay this debt for you. This debt is yours to pay, and you can decide today if you want to pay it or if you want Jesus Christ to pay it. It is up to you. Completely. Oh, this ain't fun. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Listen to this. Judge how those things were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell in them. And they would judge every man according to their works. There's a bunch of theology right here we get into that would blow all of our minds. We begin studying this about Abraham's bosom and where these was kept and in paradise where those that believe God was kept and all this. We get into that, but we're not going to get you confused this morning. We're simply going to tell you this. Nobody escapes. Nobody escapes. Listen, those that drowned in the sea were give up. Over where there was a man that could be found, they had to stand before a holy God. There's no escaping it. It don't matter anything. You can say my granddaddy's a preacher or my grandmother was in this church for 50 years. Surely I've got a little bit of pull with God and this stuff. Listen, none of that stuff matters. You're going to have to give an account for yourself. You have to do this. It's up to you. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Boy, this is doom and gloom.
This is stuff that you preach that you ain't going to have 10 people here next week. But we got to do it. But I want to tell you some good news. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Listen, I'm pretty simple. I'm not real smart. This is as simple as it gets this morning. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. This day. I know that scripture was written thousands of years ago, but this book is alive, and it's alive today as it was in Deuteronomy. He says, call heaven and earth to record against you this day. This day right here, me and you are about to get to make some choices. He said, heaven and earth is present. Whether you realize it or not, God's in our presence and people are here. We have got witnesses that this is being given to you today. You can never, ever be able to stand before God and say, I didn't have a choice. Never will you be able to stand before man and say, I've never had a choice to choose God. I've never had a choice. Listen to what he says. I call heaven and earth to record against you that I have set before you life and death. Listen, this thing is black and white. There is absolutely no gray area with God. As I was studying this week, I read after one writer who said, God is a God of absolutes. I began thinking about this. He said, God gives absolutely the best and absolutely the worst. There's no in between. It's God's best or it's his worst. It's God's eternal grace or it's God's eternal judgment. There's no middle road. There's no purgatory, as some people believe, that your family can pay enough money and get you out of this place once you go on. Listen, the Bible teaches that a tree falls, so shall it lie. As you leave this walks of life, the choices you made is what's going to determine your eternal destination. And the bottom line of this whole thing is, he says, I call to heaven and earth against you this day. I have set before you two choices. He said, and it's not three choices, it's not four. I've set before you two choices. Life and death. I set before you Jesus Christ or yourself. The Church of Scientology is huge today. It's not in Muscadine, Alabama, or Heflin, Alabama, or Ramburn, Alabama, or any of them places, but out in Hollywood where people think they got all this money and all these things. Church of Scientology is huge. You know why it's huge? Because they teach that everything you need in life, in this life, or life to come, is inside you. Everything you need is built up inside you, and you're just this perfect little human being, and there's nothing wrong with you, and surely a loving God is not going to send you to hell and all these things. Listen, that's hogwash. They need to throw it away. They need to burn it. This right here is the only truth that'll stand. And this thing teaches that today, in 2018, it don't matter if you're a teenager, you're 80 years old, or 100 years old, he says, I set before you two choices, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I hear it all the time. What's God's will for my life? I want to know God's will for my life. People tell it all the time, and they're just lying. They're don't. It's an excuse not to do anything right now. That's what it is. You want to know God's will for your life is that you choose life. You choose him. That's his will. And then he'll begin showing you what it is you to do for him. He says, I hope you choose life, that both you and thy seed may live. I began thinking about this. I just preached to you that you can't do anything about those grandchildren you have. You can't save one of them. Do you know what? Paul taught a young preacher one time named Timothy that the reason he came to the faith probably was because his grandmother, Lois, the faith she had. Listen, grandparents. Listen, mom and daddy. You know the reason that your children is in this church house today? Because you're here. And you know the reason they're hearing the gospel preached and taught in New Harmony Baptist Church? Because you bring them. Or you may not get the chance to actually physically come yourself sometimes, but you bring them to church and they hear the gospel taught, they hear it sung, they hear it preached, and they're around it. And listen, you cannot be saved unless you hear the word of God. Now, there's no way it tells us that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, there's no way that person can be saved without hearing the word of God. You bring them. He said, you make a choice. Not only mom or daddy are you choosing what's going to happen to you. You could be very well influencing what's going to happen to your children, to your grandchildren. You know the reason I believe I'm here today, and I've told y'all this many times. Yes, my dad and mom both were saved, but they was out of church. I didn't get taken to church when I was a kid. I got saved at 21 years old. Me and my wife began visiting a little church above our house, and that's why I began hearing the gospel, and my heart began getting pricked. And listen, I didn't hear that. Those of y'all that's been drugged to church as kids, you need to thank your mother and daddies. You need to thank them. But listen, I believe the reason I was there, you know why I even had a desire to go into that church house? My grandmother had taken me when I was a child. She had taken me to Bible school. She had taken me to Sunday school. I had heard a few things about God.
I didn't know Jesus Christ. I didn't understand who he was and none of this stuff. I was 21 years old. And boy, how sad is that? But listen, you're choosing. You're choosing life. And choosing to follow him could determine where your generations, maybe three or four, I don't know how long the Lord's going to tarry coming. It may determine where they'll spend eternity. This thing is serious. This ain't something that's going to pass away. The moment we walk out those doors, we'll begin getting other things on our mind. And listen, by this time, when we meet back here at 6 o'clock, most of y'all won't even remember what I preached. Most of y'all won't even remember what Scripture was read. Most of y'all won't even remember tomorrow what was read. By next Sunday, this will simply be a passing time. But he tells us, he says, I call to heaven to earth to record this day against you. I'll give you a choice. Each person on the sound of my voice is given a choice. As our singer is about to come right now, the verse of invitation, as everyone stands, I have worried about this message. I have thought about it. I have read everything I could read. And listen, I began at the verse, and you'll find out quickly that I mess up a lot. And I quote scriptures, ain't there? Them guys back there cover me a bunch where they're been able to bring them up in a hurry. And I make all these mistakes. And I do all this thing, but I believe with all my heart the message that God wanted you to hear has been given to you today. And boy, it's off of me. I am done with it. I've given it to you. It's free of me. And now it's over to your court. You get to decide today what you will do with it. I know people who's in church 40, 50 years, never accepted Jesus Christ. They had came at some time, a man had them repeat after them or something like that, and they never was realized they was a sinner, and they had to come and give their heart to the Lord. And I beg you today, do not let pride keep you from making this choice. Don't let pride of thinking, well, I was a deacon, or I was this, or I was that, or I was a Sunday school teacher. What in the world are they going to think if I come down and give my heart to the Lord? What are they going to think about me? And they're going to find out I was a fake and all this. Listen, I don't care a one hill of beans about that. What I care about today is making sure that your choice has been made and is forever settled in heaven. Because this day is being recorded. And you know those books I read you about? This day has been recorded in that book. He'll be able to flip open to that page of July. It is the 15th, 2018. It is 10:54 in Alabama. He can bring to your remembrance. You heard this message. Not only did you hear it, because me telling you is nothing. I'm simply a messenger, but you've got a word of God, a copy of it in front of you. We're living in a time of technology. We can put it up before your eyes. You're seeing what God said. That today I've given you a choice. On July 15th at 10:54, you was given a choice to choose. It's up to you. I beg you at this time, if you need to make that choice, you come down. Listen, church, you may be here and you may have made this choice years ago. You may have made it years ago. You out of the will of God. You have no desire for the things of God. You have no desire to be a part of the things. I beg you to come. I beg you to come at this time. The choice is yours.